We're going to start today with Mark Dorsey, the co-founder of Bonanza, which I thought was a really, really interesting company up in the Pacific Northwest. Mark, welcome. It's great to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to be here.
So, Mark, tell us about Bonanza. What do you do?
So, Bonanza is an e-commerce marketplace. It's a very seller-focused marketplace. Our tagline is everything but the ordinary. So if you're looking for something unique that's not mass marketed or has a UPC code, Bonanza is probably the place where you're going to find it.
And how did you identify this opportunity?
It was actually our founder, Bill Harding, who identified the opportunity. He was going to sell some items online, and if you know Bill, he's the type of person that's very detail-oriented. So he went online and he posted a lot of signage for his yard sale. When the yard sale time came, it was raining. He got no people that came to his yard sale. So he said, you know, I'm going to go online and post these things for sale. He went to Craigslist and to eBay. This was back in 2008, and went through that whole listing process. And, you know, being a programmer and an entrepreneur, he immediately identified an opportunity to make that process better and more simple, and that's when Bonanza was born. And Bonanza's main strategy is a seller-focused marketplace, and that mission became clear probably within 6 to 12 months of our soft launch of the company, where we saw an opportunity to cater to sellers, because a lot of the marketplaces were catering to buyers, and we found that that was putting sellers in a very frustrating and stressful position with their business.
Can you elaborate on that? What do you mean by a seller-focused marketplace? And I will, you know, qualify this question by saying that, you know, two-sided marketplaces always have a chicken and egg challenge at the beginning, and it sounds like you managed to solve yours by being seller-focused and addressing certain seller-focused problems that sellers were having in other marketplaces. Could you double-click down on that and explain a bit better, like, what kind of problems were sellers facing and how did you address that?
Sure. So at the time that we entered the market, it was 2008, and at that time, there were literally companies that were creating software so that you could become the next eBay alternative. So eBay alternatives were a very hot keyword at the time, and there were literally hundreds of them that were starting up. So there was an opportunity, so we had to identify why there was that opportunity. So that's when we came to the market, we found in our research and from sellers that were coming to our marketplace, you know, of course, they were always looking at every single alternative marketplace that was out there because they were looking for a solution to the problems that they were having. And it was through that process that we learned why there was a problem and what the friction points were. And sellers were having a lot of challenges with, you know, eBay, which is a great company, and Amazon as well, because those marketplaces are buyer-focused. And when you have a buyer-focused marketplace, those marketplaces are making policies and you know, doing, you know, directional strategy based upon what's best for a buyer and not necessarily what's best for a seller. Which is understandable if that's who you're catering to with your marketplace. We saw that as an opportunity to focus Bonanza on sellers. And our plan was to create a very seller-focused marketplace so that sellers wouldn't have to learn about all of the intricacies of advertising and SEO and a lot of things that they really didn't want to learn. We wanted them to be able to focus on things that they did want to focus on, such as antique belt buckles, concert posters, or unique items that they sell. And we wanted to bring more of a transparency to those products. So by focusing on sellers and a lot of the pain points that they were having, what it allowed them to do is focus on sourcing the products that they're really good at and providing their customers with a great customer service. And then they really never had to worry about some of the things and the stresses that they were having with Amazon or eBay, who were focusing on buyer policies. You know, sellers would come and there would be a policy change that they weren't aware of, and they would come and their store wouldn't be online. And they're like, you know, they can't operate a business like that. You know, they need to be able to, you know, come in and count on their items being online and for sale and not have, you know, somebody just pull their items randomly because they didn't meet a policy that they were unaware of, that they didn't read in the fine print.
If I recall, based on your our conversation earlier, when I first discovered your story, you also mentioned something about the design elements, and you had a big kind of uptick in the markets or in the sellers, among the sellers that were more design oriented and were looking for cleaner interfaces and cleaner visual merchandising solutions. Can you elaborate on that a bit?
Yeah, so we've always been a very product focused company and trying to make the design as simple as possible. So we challenge ourselves on a regular basis to remove features from the site that aren't necessary. So for example, back in 2008, when you were to create a listing online with eBay, you would enter your title for the listing and then you'd be taken to another page. And you would enter the description, then you'd be taken to another page and you'd add a photo, taken to another page. And there were literally 12 pages to the listing process before you get one item online for sale. And we said, you know, it's crazy. We can do so much better than that. So we created a one-page listing form. And I believe that page has been adopted by other marketplaces as well now. So we're really proud of that. So the design aspect in keeping the site as simple as possible is something we challenge ourselves on a daily basis to do, even to this day.
You know, that's one observation I've always had about eBay. You're talking about the process for sellers to interface with eBay and list products on eBay, but there's also the representation. If you look at sophisticated visual merchandising oriented products on eBay, they don't look very good. They look cluttered. The site is extremely cluttered. And it just takes away from the, you know, finesse of something looking classy and well merchandised visually. And Etsy, who's probably one of your top competitors, does a much better job of that phenomenon, and it seems like that's something that you also address, yes?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, again, going back to the early days of Bonanza, you know, we saw Craigslist as not being a very transparent marketplace. We saw the process on eBay is very time-consuming. And again, going back to what, you know, we focus on, which is the sellers, we want them to be able to showcase their products and their items that they're experts on in a way that tells a story about the products and, you know, brings them buyers who are very interested in those items as well. And it invites conversation between those two. So if you're a collector of, you know, vintage toys, you want to make it easy for those shoppers to learn the story of those products and to be able to communicate with those experts. So you create a search and you create a platform that you know, accentuates that.
So folks, those of you who are listening, this is a question that anybody who's doing marketplace businesses, and by the way, marketplaces continue to remain a category that is of interest to entrepreneurs, especially niche marketplaces where you're bringing together, you know, a lot of buyers and sellers of a particular niche, work really well, and still there are opportunities. But there is that million-dollar question: is how do you seed a marketplace? And I would say my observation today, you know, we are in 2017, so a lot of water has flowed under the bridge. You cannot go with a blanket, like very broad strategy, we're going to compete with eBay or we're going to compete with Amazon Marketplace. You need to find niches, you need to find merchandising niches, you need to find product angles or, you know, groups of sellers who have specific types of requirements. And my take is that today you would find the opportunity to seed that marketplace by working mostly with sellers who have specific problems with specific marketplaces where they're selling today. And I think spinning off sellers, bringing sellers, solving their problems first, and then bringing the buyers onto those marketplaces, that's the way to get new marketplaces off the ground. Mark, would you agree with that statement?
I would. I think that that's a really good strategy to start, you know, to start a marketplace and to get some initial traction. I do think that focusing on a niche like that would be a challenge if you wanted to scale that business to the level where marketplaces become a very profitable, you know, venture. So I think, and I think you can see that with Amazon when they started with books and how now they're making, you know, movies on Netflix. I mean, a marketplace, you know, a lot of the successful marketplaces do start out with a single niche, but then as they get traction and as they get traffic, then they start expanding into other categories. And I think Etsy is a really good example of that. You know, they started off with very much handmade. Then they started to go into vintage, into some other, you know, wholesale and different categories. So I think you're correct, though. As you're starting up, focusing on a niche that's underserved and getting it right within that niche will afford you the ability to scale that and to expand into other products as you move forward.
So, you know, if just a few pointers and examples of the kinds of marketplace that we are, marketplaces that we are seeing that are interesting examples, and we'll try to bring you more as well. Easy Cater is a case study that that I interviewed the founder recently. It's a catering marketplace. Caterers all over the place are connecting with clients. You know, it's a very niche marketplace, but it's a big marketplace, actually. It's, there are a lot of caterers, and there are a lot of people who hire caterers to do their events, and they have, they covered the entire workflow of the catering system. So, again, they focused on sellers first and got the buyers on once the sellers were on their marketplace. And in that case, sellers wanted the marketing exposure, which is often the case. So sellers are looking for marketing exposure, access to buyers, and as the marketplace promises to bring that, you know, deliver on that value proposition, sellers will work with you. We have a very nice one in our program right now that's doing very well is a custom product marketplace. So these are basically merchants who design custom products on behalf of both consumers and corporates for corporate gifting. And so, you know, very, very interesting community that has come together within their umbrella. So, you know, these are interesting niche opportunities that are also yielding quite significant businesses, and in the cases where they are advanced enough, they're also quite profitable businesses. So coming back to Bonanza, Mark, what you bootstrapped, you guys bootstrapped really well. So tell us a bit about how did you bootstrap and how far did you bootstrap before raising any money?
Yep, so we are probably still considered a bootstrapped company. Because we took a very small round in 2010, and we're pretty, you know, pretty large, you know, considering that. But, you know, from the very get-go, you know, Bill and I started the company, and, you know, it was a very bootstrapped venture. And you know what? Both of us come from backgrounds where we're very comfortable with that. And that's not an uncomfortable place for us to be, as I'm sure many of your listeners, you know, who are bootstrapping companies can say the same. So what that allowed us to do and what that forced us to do was really focus on the product and really whenever we made changes, whenever we were doing anything, it was really laser focused on what we were doing because we couldn't, you know, we had to make sure that we did make mistakes because, you know, our cash runway was not very strong back in those days. But, you know, it also forced us to be creative. And it was such a such a great, you know, recipe for our success early on that we've adopted that, you know, bootstrapping. And like I said at the beginning of the question, that we still consider ourselves bootstrappers. And most growth equity funds that contact us, you know, weekly, also say the same, that we're pretty much still a bootstrapped company. We're very gritty, and we're very proud of that.
So you only raised $1 million in your entire history so far, right?
That's correct. Back in 2010.
And what were the metrics when you raised the money? What had you already accomplished?
So at the time that we raised the money, we had 2 million unique visitors to our site on a monthly basis. We had 3 million items for sale, and we had about 250,000 users on our site.
And how many transactions have happened on the site, do you remember?
Our GMV at the time was about $2 million a month.
Oh, $2 million, okay, got it. All right, so you were going to raise money with a fully functioning, proven, business, essentially. It was not a concept. It was not some little experiment with an MVP. You had a business. You had, customers who were transacting and sellers who were selling. And that was it. You basically raised $1 million, and folks, you have to appreciate what these guys have done. The company is today $75 million. 2016 revenue was $75 million, right?
Yeah, and we're actually more than that, but because we're a private company, we're not allowed to disclose that information, but I'd give you a range of between 75 to 150 million.
Right. So even at the low end of that, it's just with one turning $1 million of investment into $75 million plus revenue is a phenomenal task. So Mark, let's explore that a bit. What were the key decisions that you guys made that helped you achieve this kind of bootstrap success story? I still call this a bootstrap success story, as you do as well.
Yeah, I think that two things come to mind for me. I think that one thing, we're laser focused on the product. We're constantly, like I said, trying to simplify the platform and make the platform as usable as possible. I think the second thing that was extremely important to us was offering the best customer service experience that we can. From the very get-go, that was a goal of Bill's. I'm very grateful that he allowed that because it's helped make us to who we are today, and we still are very focused on our customers. And we treat every single message that we receive from a customer as a gift because they don't have to contact us. There's a lot of other places they can shop online. We also take their feedback, and we take that as free advice from somebody who's using our product. So everybody who presents us with feedback, we listen to it. We listen to everything. We may not, adopt it, but we do listen very closely to the feedback from the sellers. We set up a lot of ways to help people submit feedback to us. So I think those two things are the two primary things that have helped us be who we are.
And what has been the primary customer acquisition strategy, the buyer acquisition strategy? Is that SEO? You mentioned SEO in the beginning, that you designed your site, your marketplace, such that when sellers listed, they automatically had SEO optimized. They didn't have to worry about it. Talk to us a bit about that. Where were the buyers coming from? How were they finding out about Bonanza?
Good question. So several ways. I think one of the ways was that we created a platform that allowed sellers to focus on their products, and we would focus on the SEO. We'd focus on the titles. We would focus on sending the best feeds that we can to Google Shopping for the seller. So we took a lot of the busy work out of the process and allowed sellers to come and really be put in a position of success on our site. So when you empower sellers like that, and they're going to go out and they're going to, give the best experience they can to buyers, and they're going to want buyers to come to this marketplace because it's set up in a way that's perfect for them. So they want to attract people to the site. I think another thing that we do that's very unique that you won't find in larger marketplaces is that we really empower our sellers to know who their buyers are, and we really empower the buyers to know who the sellers are. So when you go to a lot of larger marketplaces, when you make a purchase, you're pretty much making a purchase from that marketplace, from the Amazon or from the eBay. It's a very fine line at how close those companies let you get to your actual customer. We actually provide tools on the back end that help our sellers market to the customers so that when they get a buyer on our site, we give them the tools and the ability to be able to market to that buyer and find out certain habits and stuff so that they can go out and offer a coupon to that buyer. We want them to know who their buyers are so that they can continue to market to them and get repeat buyers. So I think those two things definitely help sellers, or excuse me, help buyers come to our site.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And you mentioned that you're getting calls all the time from the private equity guys now that you're at the scale. What is your thinking about what you want to do with this company? Is this something that you want to get private equity financing in and get liquidity for yourself and your co-founders? Or is it something that you want to take public sometime? Or you want to sell the company? What is the thinking?
Right now, we're very heads down on the product, and we feel like we're doing something very special for sellers, and we're filling a void out there. We are empowering entrepreneurs to, you know, get set up on a marketplace and be successful and be able to compete with large brands. So right now, that's our focus. You know, we don't really have any aspirations in the short term to go public or to take on, you know, more equity. We just want to build great products, and we want to empower our customers. And those are the things that we are, you know, focused on right at the moment.
Fantastic. I love your story. I love the message, the lesson from the story of really being head down focused, laser focused, and doing just very smart things on the product and customer service and strategy, and just generating good, profitable, solid revenue. So congratulations. Thank you for sharing the story. Thank you for inspiring the audience, Mark.
Thank you so much for allowing us to share our story, and thank you for having us on your program. Again, it's a, it's